You know, that song suggests that Zion is coming. And spiritual Zion, we know, is heaven. And you and I someday will have the privilege of being able to march into Zion if we are children of God. And hopefully this morning all of you are. And if you're not, I hope that at the end of the service this morning that you'll make that commitment that will ensure that you know in your heart that you'll enter Zion, spiritual Zion, the heavenly home that Christ talks about, alludes to throughout the Holy Scripture. You know, I'm thankful this morning that you and I have the privilege and the honor of being called Christians. I'm thankful that we have the honor and the privilege of being in the church of the living God. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of the church. You know, there are many today in our world, religiously speaking, and many even in the church of the Lord that do not understand just how important the church really is. For to some, the church is unimportant. They have closed their eyes. They have closed their ears to what the Bible has to say about the church. I think that's the reason that people treat it so flippantly. I think that's the reason that people come to worship half-heartedly. I think that's the reason that people do not really give to the church and they're not really interested in being soul seekers out there trying to get other people to obey God and to become a member of the church. I'm going to tell you this morning, it is a great honor to be a member of the church. It is. Do you know that we didn't join the church? You and I didn't join it. God placed us in it. When we were baptized into Christ, God added us to the kingdom of God. And what a great honor it is for God to say, you are worthy to be in my kingdom. You are worthy to be a member of my church family. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 16 and verse 18, and I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Those words were spoken at the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And the Bible says that Jesus had journeyed there. Jesus didn't really get a whole lot of distance from his home place. But on one occasion, he went to Caesarea Philippi, named after Caesar Philip. And when he went there, they were making assertions about who he was. They were debating about who is this man? Who is this? Some were saying he was Jeremiah of old who had died, and some thought that he was Elias. And Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ. Christ had asked the question, but who do you say that I am? And he said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And that's when he said, I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, that is the rock of Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, and the gates of hell shall not deny it, it shall not prevail against it. Jesus built his church. You know, there are a lot of man-made churches today. When you look around the world, you'll find that to be true. There are a lot of lookalikes. There are a lot of imitations. There are some spiritual cubic zirconias, but not the real thing in many places. What is the church? If I were to ask you that question, what is the church? The Bible says that we're to greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the churches of Christ salute you, Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, to the church of God that is in Corinth, sanctified by Christ Jesus, called to be together with all of those in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, both their Lord and ours. I want you to notice what Paul says. To all the churches. Not just the one in Corinth, but the message of God is a message to us. But what is the church? You remember a little thing I used to teach kids that this is the church, here is the steeple, you open the door and see all the people? Well, the people represent the church. The people are the church. You're not inside the church this morning. You are the church. You are the people of God. That's the church. Well, this is an edifice. This is a church building. This is where we meet. But most often we always talk about, I'm going up to the church this morning. Actually, the church are the people. Disciples joining together as a family in a specific location, who worship and work together to meet the responsibilities of that local congregation. That's what the church is. The Greek word ekklesia is a very interesting word. It is the word that is translated church in the New Testament. When Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, if you were listening to the Greek language or reading it, it would read this way, upon this rock I will build my ekklesia. And the word ekklesia just simply means the called out. The church, let me remind you, the church is not a place. It's not. The church is not man-made. We have a lot of denominations. We have a lot of people today that call themselves the body of Christ that are not. The church is the people of God. In reality, as I said, you don't go to church, but you should be the church. Now, that's what God says. You don't go to church, but you are the church. We should be the church. You know, if we all understood how important it is for us to be a member of the church, I could tell you we probably would be more active than not. Some deny the church. Some turn away from the church. Some reject it over and over again. They do. They reject the church. Jesus was rejected, so little doubt, little wonder that they would reject the church that he died to establish. The importance of the church is seen throughout the scripture. Some people say, well, you should just preach the man and not the plan. You ever heard people say that? When we talk about the plan of God to save man, some people say, well, just preach Jesus and tell people that Jesus loves them, and as long as you're preaching Jesus, then that's sufficient. That isn't what Christ said. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. But some say, well, just preach the man, not the plan. I've heard people say, well, isn't the church incidental to our faith in Christ? That is it really that important? Is the church really important? If I have faith in God, sure it is. I've had people even say, well, can't one be saved outside the church? If Jesus died for the body, and the body is who the church is. We have to be a member of God's kingdom, God's church. If we're not baptized and God, we don't allow God to add us to the church family, is there any reason for us to believe that we can go to heaven? In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says that God adds us to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47, but he put us in the church because someday he is coming for the church. Have you ever thought about it? Sometimes I think our mentality is that when Christ bursts the clouds of heaven, he's coming back for me. He's coming back for you. He's just going to pick you up and take you to heaven. You know who he's coming for, according to Ephesians chapter 5? He is coming for the church. He's coming for the church. Go back and read the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. You will find it to be true. How important is the church? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. God possesses you, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And once you were not a people, but now you are God's people, he says. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy from God, and he has placed us in the church. Is the church important? Sure, the church is important. Being in Christ is being in His body. Do you know, really, something about it? You can't be in Jesus without being in His church. God just doesn't put you in Himself, in Christ, without putting you in the body. He does. Being in His body is being in the church. Thus, the church is so important. Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 27. Now you are in the body of Christ, and each one of you, He says, is a part of it. Well, there are five reasons why the church is so important. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Number one, the church is important because Jesus loved it. I dare say, if I were to ask you this morning, do you have things that are precious to you? Say, oh, yes, they're precious. And they're precious because I love them. And do you know what? It is true, isn't it? Jesus says, wherever your heart is, there will your treasure be also. And it is true. What do you love this morning? Do you know Jesus said you must love His church above all else? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. John 15 and verse 13. Christ loved the church. And for those of us who treat it lightly, and for those of us who act like it's unimportant, and for those of us who flippantly want to be a part of it, and for those of us who think there are more things important in life than the church of the living God, need to go back and read it again. Jesus died not for the riches of this world. Jesus didn't die that you could be happy and healthy, but He died that you could be holy. And be a part of that holy nation that Peter refers to in 1 Peter chapter 2. And He taught us to love as well. But loving God and loving one another is what we are about as a church. For the Bible says to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. You love God. And you love one another. You see, Jesus said that is the superlative command. He said it's the first command and the second command. And He says upon these two commands hang all the law and the prophet. The church is important because Jesus loved it. But why is the church important? Secondly, because Jesus gave Himself for it. You know, we appreciate very much our young men and women who are serving in Afghanistan and other places around the world. And many of them have given their lives for this nation. And you know what? I don't think we treasure their lives like we ought to. I don't think that we have a deep, abiding appreciation for the sacrifices that they have made as we ought to. Sometimes on the evening news, we'll hear that a young man or a young woman was killed on a foreign field somewhere, and we just kind of blow it off and say, well, isn't that sad? That's too bad, if we give it that much thought. Sometimes we never reflect upon it at all. If Jesus died for the church, He died for you, and He died for me. For the Bible says, for while we were yet sinners or weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 through 8. For one, He says, will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even die. But God showed His love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One translation says the ungodly. Sometimes we forget just how important the church really, really is. Sometimes I wonder how God looks at us. The church is important because Jesus cleansed it and sanctified it. You know what the word sanctify meant? And does mean? It means that God set it apart for holy purposes. That's our purpose in the church. That is our purpose. God set it aside. It is a holy thing. Ephesians chapter 5 says that he might cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Jesus died on a cross. Not only did he love it, but Jesus shed his blood. For 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from our sin, all our sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness." Jesus shed his blood for the church. For one to die for you, does it mean anything at all? We have people today that roam the streets of Palestine, and people today who roam the streets of Texas and the U.S. who could care less about the death of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that those who trod underfoot the Son of God will meet with swift punishment, according to the Hebrew writer. The church is important because Jesus cleansed it. But the church is important because he is the Savior of the church. He is. When Paul conferred with the elders from Ephesus down at Miletus, in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says that Paul spoke these words unto them and said, "Take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." He is the head of the church. The head is not in Rome. A lot of folks believe that. The head is in heaven. You and I are the body. And Jesus is the head of the church. For in Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, "And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all." And if Jesus is the head of the church, he is the only one who has the authority to dictate what we do in the body. You see, the body doesn't control the head. Your body doesn't control your head. Your head controls your body. Your head tells you when to move your foot, when to move your arm, when to move your mouth, when to open your eyes if you're dozing off. It's your head. Christ is the head. He is the head of the body, and we are the body. And thank God this morning that we can be in the body. Christ is the head of his church, and no one else is. And we are members one of another. The church is important because Jesus is your head. Is he your head? Let me ask you that question this morning. Is he your head? Is he the head of your life? Is he your Savior? Are you in his body? Sometimes people think they are. And some people say, "Oh, I think the church is a good thing for those who want to be a member of it." No, it's much, much more than that. Are you in him, his body? You see, the way we get into his body is by being baptized into his body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." The way we get into the body of Christ is by being baptized into it. You don't just simply say, "Jesus, come into my life and get in the body of Jesus." You don't read your Bible enough and say, well, I've read the Bible now, and because I've read the Bible, God's going to put me in the church. No, not so. I can come to worship any number of times, and if I come to worship enough, God's going to put me in the body. Not so. The Bible says that we are baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. And there may be something that you have forgotten. You know, we forget a lot of things in life. We make a lot of appointments. We break a lot of appointments. Don't intend to sometimes. We just do it. We forget a lot of things. But you have an important date. Did you realize that? You have an important date. And it's not a blind date. It is a date with God. It is a date with what we call destiny. Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of His church. That's why we in the body of Christ teach and preach Jesus. That's why we preach the church. You can't preach Jesus without preaching the church, folks. That's why this morning I'm thankful to be in Jesus and in His church. And I'm thankful that God added me to the kingdom. And that God wanted to add me to the kingdom. But you know what? We must obey His gospel. And we must teach our children to obey His gospel as well. It is something that we too often neglect. And that is to teach our children about God and about the church and how important the church really is. We must teach our children to get into the church. You must hear the gospel of Christ. You must hear it. You can't act upon something you do not hear. You can't act upon something you do not know. And when you go before God in judgment someday, God is not going to pull surprises. God's going to ask us to give an account for what we have done with this book, the Holy Scriptures. And the Bible says, listen to what the book of John 8 and verse 24 says. He said, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sin, and where I go, you cannot come. You have to hear the Word of God. For Romans chapter 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. And if you hear it, and you really, really come to understand it, then you believe it. And when you believe it, you will be willing to confess Christ as your Lord and repent of your sin. And you would be willing to be immersed or baptized in water that God might forgive you and cleanse you of every sin that you have committed. Have you ever thought about how blessed you are to have a Savior who cleanses you of your wrong? I mean, when you do wrong, all you need to do is say, God, I'm sorry for what I did. I want to change my life. Please forgive me. And God forgives you by the blood of Jesus, even then, as a Christian. But many have turned their backs upon Jesus. And many have turned their back upon the church. And it's a sad thing because if Jesus died for the church and gave His life for it. That's what He did. It was precious to Him. And if He is the Savior of that church and He is the head of that church and He is one who loved it enough to die for it, don't you think that we ought to treat it in the same way? It would mean that we as Christians would grow to love one another even more. You know, God loves us in spite of our flaws. Sometimes it's hard for us to love people that we don't agree with. It's hard for us to love people that we have issue with. It's hard for us to love people when our personalities clash. But you know what? When our personality clashed with God's, Jesus went to the cross for us. He loved us that much. And He loves you that much. And He's willing to save you from your sin and put you in the church. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says the Lord added daily to the church such as were being saved. God's the one that puts you in the church. It's not a matter of joining it, but it's a matter of allowing God to put you in the church family, and that's what He does. This morning, if you're not a Christian, God wants to put you in the church. He wants you to see how important the church really is. I have spoken at many, many funerals through the years for people who were not connected to the church. They had no connection with any religious organization at all. And it is a sad thing when people die outside of the kingdom of God. It is a sad thing when people live their lives hoping at some point in time to make that commitment and they never do. This morning you have the privilege of making that commitment. This morning you have the honor of being able to allow God to put you in the church family. And if you believe that so strongly, and you really believe the church is important, why would you not accept it? Why would you turn your back upon it? Why would you wait another minute? Dwight has selected a song of encouragement that we're going to sing here in just a moment. Power in the blood. God has given us the church. The church keeps us strong. I don't know how people face death without a church family. I don't know how they face an illness without a church family. I don't know how they go through a crisis without a church family. I'm going to tell you, I've been there many, many times, and what a wonderful thought it was to know the church rallies with you and for you. And this church will rally with you also. If you're not a member this morning, you can believe with all of your heart that Christ is the Son of God. And upon that belief, confess Christ this morning and be penitent over your sin. And then allow me to baptize you into Christ, to lower you in water, to raise you out of that water in the likeness of the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. And if you're a Christian and you know that the church has become unimportant to you for some reason or another, would you return to your first love this morning while we stand and while we sing?